Weather officials are expecting moderate to major flooding along the Mississippi River this spring. It's Thursday, March 23rd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Sean Johnson reports on several measures passed by lawmakers aimed at increasing penalties for a number of crimes. And Anya Van Wagtendonk has a story about the upcoming state Supreme Court race and how, for many, the right to access an abortion is on the ballot. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Lingering snow in northern Wisconsin and Minnesota could mean significant flooding along the Mississippi River and other waterways this spring. Hope Kerwin has more on what weather officials are expecting.
Mike Wolver is with the National Weather Service's North Central River Forecast Center. He says cooler temperatures this spring mean there's a significant amount of snow still on the ground in the north. That snow is equivalent to anywhere from 5 to 10 inches of water in some areas.
The longer we tend to linger a heavy snowpack with a lot of water content, the greater the likelihood that at some point we're going to see the temperatures, you know, jump up into the 50s and 60s.
Wolvert says a rapid snowmelt mixed with spring rains would mean moderate to major flooding along the Mississippi River. He says the St. Croix will also likely see flooding, and weather officials are keeping an eye on the Chippewa and Wisconsin rivers as well. But Wolvert says a spring with periods of melting and refreezing could slow things down and lower the risk of major flooding. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
In a move to reduce its carbon footprint, the city of Milwaukee is now requiring the majority of newly purchased city-owned vehicles to be electric or hybrid. There are some exceptions for larger vehicles, like fire and garbage trucks. Pamela Ritger De La Rosa is the Environmental Sustainability Program Manager for the city. She says the ordinance will save money and help reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
We saw this as a great opportunity, just to kind of have those cost savings across the board and just be reducing those emissions from the internal city operations.
Milwaukee leaders have set a goal to have net zero emissions by 2050. They have a long way to go, though. There are currently 13 electric and 72 hybrids in the fleet of about 2,500 vehicles. State lawmakers passed several measures on Wednesday aimed at increasing prison time for a variety of crimes. As Sean Johnson reports, that includes a bill aimed at increasing penalties for people who provide drugs that lead to overdose deaths.
The plan would increase the maximum prison sentence for reckless homicide from up to 40 years to up to 60 years. It would apply to people who cause someone's death when they manufacture or distribute drugs like fentanyl. Democratic State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee called it a feel-good bill that didn't address the root causes of drug addiction.
This is going to lead us with the false sense that we did something. We solved it. We were tough on crime.
But fellow Democrat LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee said she lost a brother to drugs. She voted for the bill, saying drug dealers who mix up fentanyl have no regard for life.
And if this bill could take one of those individuals off the street, it is worth its weight in gold.
Plan passed on a 28-3 vote and heads next to the assembly. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Industrial and wastewater facilities will soon have an easier way to work with farms to reduce pollution under the state's Water Quality Trading Program. Water quality trading allows factories or treatment plants facing costly pollution controls to compensate farms for cheaper ways to reduce pollution. It provides flexibility for facilities to offset pollution from other sources within a watershed. Now, a clearinghouse or third party will make it easier to do just that. Erin Delawalla is with Resource Environmental Solutions. She says the company will connect industrial or wastewater facilities with landowners and farmers.
And they would purchase credits from a landowner who makes improvements to their property. You know, best management practices is the term that's used. to reduce runoff.
The goal is to decrease phosphorus in waterways that can fuel algae blooms. Green Bay Republican Senator Rob Cowles led a bipartisan effort to approve the clearinghouse. He says it should lead to cleaner water over time. Coming up, reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk has a story about what the upcoming state Supreme Court race could mean for abortion access in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, in just 2 weeks, Wisconsin voters will choose a new state Supreme Court justice who will determine the ideological balance of the court for years to come. For many voters, the right to access abortion is on the ballot. Anya Van Wagtendonk explains how the issue is bringing new energy to what might otherwise be a low-key election.
On a freezing day in mid-March, several dozen rallygoers stand among snow piles in downtown Appleton. They're focused on rights they say are at stake in Wisconsin's pivotal state Supreme Court election. And for many in attendance, like Emma Keel, one issue stands out. That's because there's a good chance that whoever wins this election will hear a lawsuit over Wisconsin's abortion ban.
As a 26-year-old woman living in Wisconsin, I want to have autonomy over my body.
Wisconsin's court race has attracted national attention. Millions of dollars have poured in, and it's motivating voters like Whitney Bouchard, who might not normally be out in the cold for a race like this one.
This is new for me, yes. I've definitely supported Wisconsin politics in the past, but getting this involved is new to me, and I think I just realize how much of an impact these things have, and I don't think everybody does.
Ostensibly, this is a nonpartisan race. But the two candidates are favored by the two ends of the ideological spectrum. The conservative favorite, former Justice Dan Kelly, has done work for an anti-abortion group, while Judge Janet Protasiewicz has been outspoken in her support for abortion rights. Abortion's been outlawed here since last summer, when Roe v. Wade was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. That ruling reinstated a Wisconsin law first written in 1849 banning abortion. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has filed a lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's ban. It's expected to go before the state Supreme Court at some point after the winner of this election is sworn into office.
I think Wisconsin's going to be kind of like a laboratory for both sides as they try to figure out how to influence state Supreme Court elections.
Mary Ziegler is a leading historian of the U.S. abortion debate. She says abortion was not a top issue for most voters before last year. But that's changed, especially in a state like Wisconsin.
You also have seen, I think, a shift in intensity of preference on abortion among a lot of Democrats. And I think some questions among some Republicans, especially around laws like Wisconsin's that don't have exceptions.
Ziegler says Wisconsin will be a model for other judiciary races going forward. Anti-abortion activists are aware of the stakes, and they're looking to preserve the legal victory they achieved last summer. Gracie Skogman, the legislative director of Wisconsin Right to Life, said she's never seen a response like this from anti-abortion activists.
This is the most impactful election for the pro-life base here in Wisconsin now that there is a tangible law that's on the line.
Douglas Keith is an attorney with the Brennan Center for Justice, which tracks spending in high court races. Keith says there's a reason the Wisconsin race has already shattered national records for spending.
Spending is increasing with the recognition that these courts are going to be the courts that are deciding some of the highest profile, most politically charged legal questions.
National groups have gotten involved in other ways, too. In January, the National Women's March held its flagship event in Madison to draw attention to the race. Jennifer Knox, the organizing director for Working Families Power, said the most important thing activists could do was invest some of their time in Wisconsin.
This is the single place in 2023 that really does reflect that abortion rights are on the ballot.
To hear Knox describe it, the stakes of the court race couldn't be more clear. She says whoever wins will decide whether abortion in Wisconsin is legal or not. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crowe. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. And you can find more news anytime at WPR.org. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.